Listeners, we are starting a new podcast today, and I want to do something a little different. I've pulled up one of Johnny's recent posts from Facebook. I thought this one was an especially good one because it applies to so much of what's going on right now. The name of this podcast, he gave it a title. It's actually the name of the
Facebook post.
Facebook post is "Don't let the bad news of the day distract you from the truth of the season." Don't let the bad news of the day distract you from the truth of the season. And I just thought I'd start by reading the first paragraph and then let you jump in, Johnny.
Mm-hmm.
I think this concept that we're going to introduce is so important. Lately, just watching the news, it just feels like things are worse than ever when you watch and you see, you keep expecting there to be like terrorists, but they're just mass killings of a variety of different kinds. People died, in 16 people, if I remember correctly, in a freak hot air balloon accident. And then, of course, there have been several recent terrorist attacks. And then others that just lone shooters who are mentally disturbed people. And here in California, we've had several fires. I think another one started burning today, too. And it can feel like there's just constant bad news. And so I think this is a really important concept for us to talk about today. The first paragraph, you said, "There is a reality that when the kingdom of God on earth accelerates, that its, quote, collateral damage can be bad news. For media observers trained in extracting and highlighting bad news, this can be a time of great undeserved influence. For those of us regularly informed by that media, we can be significantly distracted from objective truth by the anecdotal bad facts of the day. Facts can distract from truth." Can you explain what you mean by facts can distract from truth?
Well, part of what I even go on to say there is that, you know, we hear these recent attacks in France and Germany and really all over various manifestations of the ISIS groups, and Japan, there was a stabbing, and you put them back to back to back, and you hear about them in a constant fashion, and then you start feeling like, oh, these are the worst days ever.
Mm-hmm.
And often forgetting that, you know, pick a newspaper from 10 years ago, from 15 years ago, 20 years ago, you'd be surprised how similarly bad the news is from that day. This is the media. This is what they do. They find, they extract bad news of the day. That's, you know, that's the guidelines by which they operate. They are in conjunction. They don't even know it, but it's what principalities that rule Mountain of Media want you to do. They want them finding every distasteful, horrendous, bad news, discouraging news, item that's possible, and repeating that as often as can be. And it, you know, people have a weird fascination with bad news as well. And in it, then we start, the problem is, as the church, we're not wise to what's taking place. And so we begin perceiving that that is the reality on planet Earth, that these things taking place, ignoring such, you know, some of the things I put there, some that I say I won't have in my post, but, you know, today 250,000 people will come to Jesus. And how does that compare with even, you know, a shooting of 15, 20 people? It's not to diminish anyone's life, but 250,000 people born in the kingdom today. Like, it's just hard to get enough bad news to counter that. And then there's, you know, somewhere between 50 and 100,000 will receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And there will be thousands who will be healed, thousands who will get a new lease on life from new hope that is presented. And there's the reality that if you can find and put piece together in a similar fashion the good news and release that in a daily way, you could begin to condition yourself and even the world to think, oh my goodness, good is just absolutely taking over bad right now. But we're getting the reverse of that. So we feel like you know, a day that goes by that we don't hear about, you know, a suicide bombing somewhere or whatever is a good day. It's like, oh, but we don't realize that that's not really realism anyway. I just point out the one aspect of having to do with abortions themselves that we think, you know, I think I wrote in the post that we can look back and say perhaps 1990, how much better things were back then. And we weren't hearing about these kind of violent operations, and we weren't worried about Islam and ISIS and to the degree that we are now. And just thinking of so many ways of that we might, you know, in hindsight, look at 1990 for those who've old enough to do so and think how much better it is. But the reality is, you know, things like just one area, just abortion rate in America, because it's dropped so much since 1990, that in 1990, there are approximately 4,000 abortions a day. And they're down to 2,000 now, still too many, but 4,000 abortions mean, and if you just get a picture of, and it's not, you know, I'm not one of these avid campaigners for anti-abortion, and I recognize that we have to cover the spectrum of all of life in what we discuss as far as needing reformation. But you have innocent life that is being taken in a day, 4,000 a day, that's 20,000 in 5 days. You know, it's like almost 30, you know, you can do the math, you keep going. It's a lot. And yet we feel better or worse based on a reported, like if something hits the news. And so we're allowing, you know, CNN, Fox, whoever else to tell us, to give us a feel of whether we're doing well or not doing well. And it's a distorted means for getting that perception. I point out that things are simultaneously much worse and much better than they imagine. And the much worse is because, you know, I gave this the examples of China, where there's 13 million abortions a year, which comes out to just, I forget what I pointed out, it's like 35,000 a day or something. And it was just an exorbitant amount, but yet the kingdom of God is growing. There's about 35,000 a day coming to the Lord in China. There are the realities that 500 million Chinese have left the extreme poverty rate. They've moved into middle class status, and there are 200 million millionaires now in China. So there's like, we're not really perceiving objectively by judging anything by the news of the day. And I was making the application both at a nation and worldwide, and also personally, like just can be a day of contradiction for someone. They have pain, they have physical pain, sickness, there can be relational pain, there can be financial pain. And either of the day or of the weeks or the days you're there. And so there's this need for anointed observation to be able to see things from his perspective, to be connected to his patience, even with us, with humanity, with society, that once the sins of society are pieced together and brought before us, we become convinced, like if it's exposed before us, oh my goodness, look at this. This is how we're misbehaving. This is what ISIS groups are doing. There is you know, whatever other group that we began to position and put on the TV, we began to start thinking, oh my goodness, we deserve to be wiped off the face of the earth through the judgments of God. And the reality is that in most of our social markers, most of the markers of society that we have gotten better in the last 20 or 30 years, things like crime and teenage pregnancies and other things. And so if you look objectively, there's a lot of these markers that are going in the positive direction. But it's that he has so much mercy, kindness, grace, patience for us individually, and as well as a nation and society, is what we really need to be connected to. And we really need to get his perspective and then his thoughts on what's next. That's something we're always bringing up to you, is what is he on next? What is he putting his finger on and saying needs to be dealt with next? Like we're just going to be shocked before it's over how many things that we accept now as being okay. In the future, he'll say, that's not okay anymore. You know, we have this thing, it's really, we'll say church circles, perhaps most of the world, there's yeah, gossip's bad, but it's really not a deal breaker. We're not going to lose our salvation over it. You know, there may be a day he says, you know what, this is the deal right now. I don't want this anymore. I'm just giving a for instance.
Sure.
You know, we don't know. We wrongfully make our own decisions on what we think is the next thing he's working on.
You've used an example, like, for example, in the Old Testament with different David, Abraham, Moses had multiple wives, but clearly by the New Testament, God had gone after that issue. He was never okay with it, but he, quote, tolerated it because he was working on different things in their generations than he was by the time of the New Testament. And by the time of the New Testament, it was not okay to have more than one wife and represent him and his kingdom. So that's what I hear you saying, even about the gossip issues. Like there is going to come a time when he has so grown us up that he says, you really have to deal with this issue next. And it's done. Back to the original quote, I just will say it again because I think it's so powerful. You said facts can distract from truth. So what I hear you saying is it's not that we don't need to know the facts. It's just when we hear the facts, we need to always put them in the context of the bigger picture of the truth. And when we do that, it hits our hearts in a different way. So it's not irresponsible to know, you know, I think there's a good and a bad of media when they report to us the bad things that are going on. It gives attention to things that need to be addressed and dealt with and justice issues when we hear of ISIS, et cetera, and different people being treated wrongly in this arena or that arena. And yet when you hear it and you listen through ears that are just only dealing with the facts, then it hits your heart in a way that causes fear and anxiety. But when you hear it and you attach it to the overall context of, okay, the truth is these are things that need to be dealt with. So, okay, God, your heart is for this. The fact that I care about it is proof that you care about it. So what are you saying? How are you planning on addressing this in our generation?
Yeah. You know, I think that's well said that way. And number one, we just have to know the facts from the Bible. It says in Isaiah it says of the increase of his kingdom, of his government, there will be no end. So there's an ever increasing advance of the kingdom of God on planet Earth. It never stops increasing. It cannot be diminishing. And so, you know,
and his kingdom is what? In this most simple way to describe it, how do you describe it? His ways of doing things?
Well, that's
his standards.
It's his rule and reign. And so it includes the things you're saying, but
it's not necessarily just a number of Christian souls.
No, it's not. It's about his knowledge of God soaking into society. You're pointing out the examples that, you know, God's friends, his best friends, Abraham, Moses, and David from the Old Testament, they would not even be accepted in church today for their values and beliefs, and just the ones on polygamy and slavery and those kind of things.
But the knowledge of God grew.
The knowledge of God grew so that just in almost all the recesses of society now, those are understood realities, that it's almost across the board known that polygamy and slavery is just inhumane.
So whether people actually are Christians or not, the fact that his way of perceiving that issue correctly is more infiltrated into the earth is evidence of his kingdom. And so you were just saying of the increase of his kingdom, of the increase of his government, there will be no end.
And so part of what's happening because of that is, as I said, I think in the first line there's a collateral damage of the kingdom coming. As the kingdom comes in, there's a part of it that's beyond what we're saying. It's probably visible in the spirit realm, the kingdom of God coming in, this rule and reign of God. It displaces darkness. It's light displacing darkness ultimately. And so as it displaces that which it's displacing, if there's an inferior structure, something that's dangerous for people to live in, it gets knocked over. When it gets knocked over, when that structure gets knocked over, it can be a danger to people around it.
You mean like a physical building?
A physical building.
Right.
That has to come down because it's it's you know, it's dangerous for it to exist. It has, you know, toxins, it has asbestos in it or whatever. You have to tear down that building because of it. It can have collateral damage for whoever's still living in it or around it. And so as the kingdom comes into society, the collateral damage is things that are built on the wrong things or too close to the wrong things. And, you know, when you expand this, this can go into economic systems and realities. It can be bad news for a moment. We're like, what's happening?
Right.
And we don't realize, if we're not able to observe it in an anointed way, we won't realize that some of the
facts
things,
versus the truth.
Yeah, the facts are the truth. That what's actually happening is something is being removed because there is a good, a better, an upgrade, a kingdom upgrade that's coming in.
Yep.
And so when the kingdom upgrade is on its way, there can be mayhem, violence, dissonance. There can be things that we're having a hard time properly processing. So, you know, it's ultimately a call to all of us to begin to, you know, rise above the news of the day and begin to ask the Lord for his perspective on things. And of course, we can help each other by telling perspectives like this. We can help remind each other that there is a greater story we need to stay connected to. Always be aware of the macro of what's happening as we observe the micro. You're going to get the micro from news media outlets. We were not designed to have to process every day the worst of the worst of the worst news of 7.2 billion people on the planet and then determine based on that if we're doing well or not.
True.
It's never, you're never going to, when the media's assignment is to extract the worst of the worst of the worst stories or the most gossipy or violent and present it to the public, we are never going to have a sense of well-being by paying attention to the media. And so it's an invitation for us to disconnect from media as far as where we get a perception of objective reality for today.
And those of you called to media, I think the conversation starts here for you. The dialogue with the Lord is, how do we responsibly report? How do we give people access to accurate information without being used by the enemy to invade people's hearts and lives with fear? And how do we responsibly, I mean, I look at people in the media and I think they really care about justice issues. I'm generalizing here, but they care about issues of justice and they want to make sure that every person's story matters. And when, for example, if one media outlet is reporting, you know, killings here and the other one doesn't, then the one that doesn't can look like they have a reputation of not caring about that nation or about that situation or that people group. And so it forces this pressure to make sure that every person gets fair attention in the media, but they can be so focused on the facts versus the overall truth. So it's an important season for media, people that are called to media and journalists specifically, to learn, what does this need to look like moving forward? And what does this new way of doing media going to look like and sound like? And I'm excited about it. And just quickly, again, to wrap this up, we like to take everything that we're looking at on a big picture and apply it to our personal lives. And so those of you that you might be in a season where you're just hearing and experiencing a stream of bad news, of facts that are just difficult about your life. And maybe it's on, just feels like on every front right now. But just like Johnny said, that as the kingdom comes in and the darkness is being displayed, ultimately darkness is anything that exalts itself against the correct knowledge of God, against the truth. And so anything that's going on in your life is probably being displaced that is not in line with the truth of who God is and who God desires to be for you and who he says that you are. And so I get excited for other people. It's harder for myself when I see things going just unreasonably wrong in so many areas, because I realize, wow, you're in store for an upgrade. You are being promoted into a whole new place. You're graduating right now because God wouldn't give you new ground that he doesn't think you're able and capable of maintaining. So God's giving you new ground right now. And in order for you to step into the new thing, the old has to fall away. And when the old falls away, it doesn't always look pretty. It doesn't always feel good. But it's important for us as we continue to advance and the kingdom of God is advancing in our individual hearts and lives. So we just declare over you today that you are ready for the new thing. And we just ask, Father, that you would just give each one of them stamina to go the distance in these areas that that are looking so desperate right now. And we ask that you would just infuse their hearts with hope and that you would give them that reality check, that place of truth, that the facts may look one way, but the truth is you are involved, you are intentional, and you are fighting always for them and never against them. And so we thank you, Father, for all of the reformers that are listening today, and we just ask that you would encourage their hearts in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. If you're interested in more resources that will equip you for your kingdom assignment to reform the areas of culture that you're passionate about, you can check out our website and online bookstore at johnnyandelizabeth.com. While we're happy to make these podcasts available to you for free, donations help make that possible. You can donate on our website, where you'll also find information about our ongoing RISE courses and events. Be sure to subscribe through iTunes to receive our latest podcasts. May God continue to display His goodness through you in all that you do today and every day.